And welcome back in to the Monday Morning Blitz, Game Day, SportsRadio.com. Boji Wood still here with you. Monday morning, 22nd of October, 9 o'clock in the a.m. in Atlanta, Georgia. For our affiliates just joining us out on the West Coast, 6 o'clock out there. You guys get up and get going tonight here in Atlanta, just up the road a piece from where we sat right now, the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. The Falcons and Giants will be taking on each other in Monday night football. We had a full weekend of college football. It's time to bring in Mike Bernard from OTM Sports out in Las Vegas and remind everyone that the Morning Blitz, brought to you by Firehouse Subs, over 1,000 locations nationwide. Firehouse Subs, the hero of all subs. Mike, it was an interesting weekend in college football.
It was not quite as interesting as the previous week, but still a lot of upsets and a lot of eye-opening games.
A bunch. The biggest thing to me, obviously we'll talk about the Ohio State game, but I think we saw some pretenders exposed this week, and not really talking about Ohio State, but talking about some of the down-the-liners. Saw some pretenders exposed and saw some folks that wasn't getting enough credit. I think they kind of earned their due this past weekend.
Yeah. For instance, Cincinnati, they're in the top 20, but they're ranked in the 60s on the Vegas power rankings. That's one team that comes to mind. We'll talk about them in a bit. Another team that doesn't get enough credit's Washington State, and it's easy to say now after they beat Oregon, but they were favored in that game, and they won fairly handily.
We'll start out with the number one ranked team, Alabama Crimson Tide. Of course, they maintained their number one ranking, got all 61 first-place votes this week, beat Tennessee 58-21. The Tide's average score this year, 54-16. You know, it was just another day at the office in Neyland Stadium for Alabama. But now Alabama's schedule gets a little bit tougher when they, in 2 weeks, of course they're off this week, but in 2 weeks they go down to Baton Rouge, take on LSU.
Right. Alabama closed as a 30-point favorite in Knoxville. They won by 37. They covered the number. Not much drama with Alabama this year. Alabama hasn't lost the turnover margin in any game to this point. And the Tide held Tennessee to 31 rush yards on 30 tries.
Butch Jones, he finally got to be on the winning side of this game, and UT paid him to do it, actually, because they're still paying his buyout. He's an analyst at Alabama for this season. A lot of former Vols didn't like the fact that he was celebrating that win, like Albert Haynesworth, who's always been outspoken. He took to Twitter. He called out Jones for celebrating the win, said, hey, you're celebrating a win over a team that you put together. So, again, Butch Jones was happy, but a lot of former Vols not happy. The big upset of the week, number two, Ohio State, now sitting at 7-1. They lost to Purdue 49-20, and they took a tumble all the way down to number 11 this week. Ohio State, they couldn't run the football, gave up 539 yards of total offense. They really missed Nick Bosa. He basically has walked away from the football team following his surgery, and he could have come back. There's no doubt about it. But he wants to protect his NFL draft status, and I've got nothing. Listen, coaches want to look out for themselves. I got nothing against players looking out for themselves the way that college football has become, quote-unquote, big business. But back to the game, the Buckeyes lost. It hurts the Big Ten. And albeit ever so slightly, it keeps Big 12, their playoff hopes alive.
I think it does. The Bucs came into 2018 as the best road team in college football against the point spread the last 5 years. But this year, Coach, they've had three road trips. They failed to cover all three. Now, remember last year, that blowout loss on the road to Iowa? It kept the Buckeyes out of the playoffs. This blowout loss to Purdue may keep them out again. That's if they're still in consideration late in the year.
Yeah, there's still a lot of football for them to play. Now, if you listened to Inside the Numbers last Friday, and why wouldn't you? Because you get such great expert analysis, especially from me. I mean, I said that both teams, they'd be tough against the run early, and that one would get their passing game going, and it would be a late blowout. And that's exactly what happened. I just missed the team. I mean, I thought it was going to be Ohio State, but it was actually Purdue. and a special event for Purdue and the Boilermakers there. Tyler Trent, a sophomore at Purdue battling terminal cancer, was able to make it to the game. That football team has kind of adopted him and made him an honorary captain for the year. And go on the website, GameDaySportsRadio.com. You'll see a feature there on Tyler Trent and what he's meant to that Boilermaker football team. Moving on to number three, Clemson. They won against North Carolina State 41-7. And by virtue of Ohio State dropping, Clemson moves up into the second spot this week. You and I both thought that North Carolina State had a good chance to go in here and continue the history of giving Clemson a challenge, but honestly, the Wolfpack never was in it. Tigers dominated from the time they kicked the thing off.
Yeah, I liked my top two plays on Saturday were Purdue and NC State. And of course, NC State got crushed. Wolfpack was minus two in turnovers. They were negative 174 in total yards. They had eight less first downs. Clemson won every phase of the game. They held State to 297 yards of total offense. Now, the Tigers are starting to peak. They've won and covered their last two games after that scare by Syracuse. And, Coach, the last two games for Clemson versus Wake Forest and NC State, they won by a combined score of 104-10.
Number four, Notre Dame. They stayed at 7-0 as they didn't play anyone this week. They travel to San Diego. Will take on Navy out at Jack Murphy Stadium this coming Saturday. But again, by virtue of the Ohio State loss, they bumped up from 4-3.
Yeah, the Irish are going to be favored to win out in each of their five remaining games, but I don't think it's a given that Notre Dame wins out. Their schedule very unusual. They only have one home game left. That's against Florida State. Florida State's down, but they still have great athletes. This week, as you mentioned, they play in San Diego against a Navy team who's also down. Then they go at Northwestern. Then they play Syracuse in Yankee Stadium. And then the season finale's at USC.
Yeah, I think that season finale out in the Coliseum, I think that's going to be the game of all those to watch and see if Notre Dame stumbles down the road. Number five, LSU. They get to move up a spot also to number four. They beat Mississippi State 19-3 down in Tiger Stadium in a rainstorm. Mississippi State outgained LSU in total yardage, but was negative three in the turnover margin. Tiger defense, they held the Bulldogs to a field goal. You don't see that often in today's college football. And now LSU has a week to rest up, get healed, and get ready to go against Alabama.
Yeah, Coach, and, you know, I always listen to what the point spread says. And the point spread said in this game that Mississippi State's going to play with LSU. Bulldogs didn't get the memo. Tigers, they're a top five team in Vegas. I'm interested to see what the line's going to be on that Alabama-LSU game. LSU playing very well. They've covered 10 of their last 11 conference games. They're going to be getting points at home in this game, as they did in the Georgia game. We know what happened there. LSU, they're plus 7 in turnovers their last two games. That's what they're going to have to do if they're going to have a chance to beat Alabama.
Yeah, and Alabama, they haven't been prone to giving up the ball easily either. They have six turnovers in eight games, four fumbles, and a couple of interceptions, and some of those came at the end of the game when they were up 35, 40, 50 points. Number six, Michigan, has moved up to number five. They stay at 7-1. They beat their arch rival, Michigan State, 21-7. One hurdle down for Jim Harbaugh now, but still a lot of work to do. Penn State, they're coming up next. And then, of course, you got the season finale in Columbus versus Ohio State.
Yeah, Harbaugh broke that 0-17 losing streak. That was to ranked teams on the road. They're now 1-17. Michigan's only loss, the opener at Notre Dame. If the Wolverines went out and the Irish went out, now look, Coach, I know this is when we do a lot of speculating, but if Michigan and Notre Dame both went out, I believe it's very likely they're going to meet again in the playoffs. Michigan's defense, my opinion, best in college football. I don't see any weaknesses.
Oh, very, very strong. Both these teams, they showed a lack of class, though, on Saturday in the pregame. Plenty of blame to go around, including coaches, but let me tell you something. Petty, insecure, and wannabe teams, they're the ones that act that way.
Well, I agree, and it's like whistling in the dark when we talk about you know, when teams talk trash. If you know you can do it, why say it? And I did. I was a little disappointed in seeing that in that game.
Number 7 Texas, of course, they move up to number 6. They had a bye week, and you know they are 6-1. We've got to give Tom Herman and the crew that. They did beat Oklahoma's defense. They didn't beat their offense, but they beat their defense, and of course that led to Mike Stoops being gone. But when you look at the rest of their schedule, they've only got one of the top 40 teams left to play. And because of the way the Big 12, which has 10 teams, determines their championship game, the Longhorns, they're likely to get there and maybe even with another loss.
That's right. And I'll be honest with you, Coach, I'm just not impressed with Texas. There's a minimum of 10 teams that would be favored over Texas on a neutral field. And the AP had them 7th last week. I don't know where they stand this week. But they only have one quality win and a bad loss to Maryland. Good news for Longhorn fans, their remaining schedule is very favorable. With that said, as you mentioned, they still may lose another game before a possible spot in the Big 12 title game.
Number 8, Georgia, they moved up to number 7 despite not playing. They're sitting at 6-1. And of course, they're coming off that drubbing in Baton Rouge last week. And now it's time to get ready for the world's largest outdoor cocktail party in Jacksonville as they take on the Florida Gators.
Basically, a de facto SEC East Championship game. And Wildcat fans, don't get in a flurry over that because Kentucky still has to play at Mizzou this week. And then Georgia, I think the East is going to be decided by the winner of this game.
Number 9, Oklahoma, moving up to number 8. They beat TCU 52-27. They just dominated this game in Fort Worth. The Sooners ran for 323 yards.
Coach, it's really funny how when an offensive coordinator becomes head coach, all of a sudden he's more aware of the importance of running the ball. Lincoln Riley, he focuses on running the ball more now than he did was when he was the OC under Bob Stoops. Oklahoma, they have a couple of tough road games left. They have to go to Texas Tech, play them in Lubbock, and then they have to go and play at West Virginia, and that should be a challenge.
Number 10, Central Florida, they stay where they were last week. They beat ECU 37-10. Mackenzie Milton, the quarterback, great quarterback at Central Florida, didn't get to play. He sat out due to injury, sustained in a Memphis game. The Golden Knights have a 20-game win streak and are the defending national champions.
Yeah, well, Milton didn't play in quarterback, and Central Florida still won, and they still covered the line. Central Florida's only been in one close game. That was the come-from-behind win in Memphis. They're doing their part, but they close with 4 capable opponents. Coach, they play Temple, Navy, Cincinnati, and South Florida. Tough schedule remaining for the rest of the way, but they can win every game by 50, and they still don't get in the playoffs.
Yeah, you know, and again, you know how I feel about that, but that's just the way the system is right now. We have to live with it, but the NCAA does recognize them as national champions last year, so, hey, they can claim it just like everybody else does.
That's right.
Number 11, Florida, they didn't play, and they moved up 2 spots from number 11 to number 9, and as we mentioned, they have Georgia next Saturday in Jacksonville at the world's largest outdoor cocktail party, and as you said, basically the de facto championship game for the SEC East. Number 12, Oregon, lost to Washington State 34-20, and they plummeted all the way down to number 19 after that loss. The Ducks, they're not right where they want to be yet, and you and I both agree on this. Washington State, they're better than people give them credit for. Oregon lost to a pretty good football team. The Achilles heel for the Cougars, I think, is going to be this lack of killer instinct. They were up 27-0 at the half, and the offense just sort of packed it in until the last 6 minutes of the game. You know, and this was after the Ducks had cut it to 27-20.
Yeah, they kind of went into prevent, and you know, but they're still a really solid team. Cougars, only loss, it was that game in L.A. against USC. They had a late lead. They threw the game away. And there was also some questionable calls that you reminded me of off the air. If State wins out, they're in the Pac-12 title game.
I can see that happening. I can see Mike Leach taking the guys there, keeping them focused, and making that happen. Number 13, West Virginia. They 5-1, had a bye this week after getting beat by Iowa State. And West Virginia, they stayed exactly where they were last week at number 13. That 16-point loss to Iowa State, you know, that had to sting for the Mountaineers, but they get a chance to get back on the field Thursday night against Baylor.
That's right. They had a week off and get the advantage of playing on a Thursday night, primetime situation. West Virginia defense, they only allow 21 points per game. And, hey, that's good when you're playing against Big 12 offenses. If the Mountaineers win out, I know we're speculating a lot here, but that's what we have to do. They'll play in the Big 12 championship game because they have to play Texas and OU. But if that happens, there's no way that the Big 12 has any shot at the playoff if West Virginia wins out.
All right, Mike, we got to take a quick break, pay some bills. We'll be right back on the Morning Blitz on GameDaySportsRadio.com.